May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin by doing something rather different this morning. I want to lead us in a very short meditation based on that reading of Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha, and then we'll reflect on what God might be saying to us through this passage today. So I'd like you to try and imagine that Jesus is coming to your house for supper, and picture the scene. If it helps, close your eyes. I wonder what you are cooking. You have been preparing for hours so that you can offer Jesus your very best hospitality. You are a bit anxious, as you want the food and everything to be just perfect. Jesus has arrived. How do you feel? Your sister takes him by the hand and sits down on a cushion at his feet. You busy yourself in the kitchen. There are several pots boiling and it's stifling and uncomfortable in the kitchen. You begin to feel hot and flustered yourself. There is so much to do. In the other room, you can see your sister sitting quietly with Jesus. You feel a pang of jealousy and then of anger. What does that sister of yours think she is doing, sitting there, doing nothing, and leaving you to do all the work? You can sense your frustration and irritation rising. Why doesn't Jesus take your side? Surely he can see it's not fair. Then you hear his voice. He speaks with gentleness and compassion. Martha, Martha, hear him call your own name. You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Perhaps that little meditation has helped us enter a little more deeply into this story. And I led it from Martha's point of view because whenever I've asked people to ponder this story, they've almost always taken Martha's side and felt indignant on her behalf. And I suspect that many of us here might sympathise with that response. From the various gospel accounts, we can assume that Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. He may have frequently visited their home. And this is one such occasion when the two sisters respond to the situation very differently. Martha is busily doing things for Jesus, and she becomes distracted and flustered, perhaps trying to make things perfect. Whereas Mary receives from Jesus, spending time in his presence, sitting at his feet and listening to him. Well, we might think that's okay. They are just two different personalities who respond in different ways. But notice that Jesus doesn't say, Martha, thank you for working hard and making a special meal. Your way of busy activity and Mary's way of prayerful listening are equally valid ways of being. We are all different and we must all follow the best way for us. That's perhaps what we might imagine Jesus saying today. But Jesus actually makes a value judgment. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. Now, in Jesus' response to Martha, I don't think he's being ungrateful for her hard work, but he's speaking into her busy distraction and her resentment. His words may be a gentle rebuke, but perhaps they are also an invitation. She too can leave the things that worry her and distract her and join Mary for the one thing necessary. At this particular moment, it is more important to spend time with him than to make him a gourmet meal. Now, of course, Jesus isn't implying that Martha should never do any cooking in the kitchen, or that we should never do any practical service and simply spend all our time in his presence in listening and prayer. Remember last Sunday's reading of the Good Samaritan and the challenge that is to us of practical service, even when it costs us such a lot. Jesus himself was a man of action. He was constantly giving himself to serve others. But he was also a man of prayer. And he certainly didn't spend his time being busy for the sake of being busy. All he did and said came out of his loving dependence on his Father. His doing came out of his being, his deep rootedness in God the Father. Some spiritual writers over the centuries have used this passage to divide people into those who live active lives in the world, the Marthas, and those who live contemplative lives in prayer, in religious orders, the Marys. But other spiritual writers have encouraged us to ponder that there is potentially a Mary and a Martha in each one of us. We are called to bring together our active service for Jesus with our prayerful listening and receiving from Jesus. But I think the danger is, certainly in our activist culture, is that we spend far, far more time being busy, sometimes frenetically so, with a great deal of worry and distraction, as Martha experienced, than being still in God's presence, receiving from him. And if we're honest, our judgment is more likely to be the opposite of what Jesus says. We may be tempted to think that the one thing necessary is to be constantly busy rather than to be still listening to Jesus. Now, I know that for many people here, work is extremely demanding and at times very stressful. There is always so much to do. It's also possible, even within ministry in the church, to become so busy, so preoccupied, so distracted at times with what we want to do for God that we fail to make enough time to be still to receive from him. Yet this is where the life-giving energy for all we do comes from. So we need to redress that balance, to recognise that yes, there are plenty of times when we should be active serving others, but there are other times when the one thing necessary is to be still in God's presence, in prayer, to receive his love. Do we build these Mary times into our lives? We are all prone to be busy, and busyness itself seems to be seen as a virtue in our society, in our culture today. Certainly, I know that when clergy get together, it's never more than 5 minutes before someone will say how terribly busy they are. And then what usually follows is a kind of unconscious competition as to who is the most busy and the most stressed. We all do it, me included. It's as if that busyness proves we are doing something worthwhile. Conversely, when we can't do as much, we feel of less value. In recent years, part of my ministry was spent as a chaplain in an elderly people's home. And many of the residents would often say to me, "Don't get old, it's awful." They would also tell me, sadly, of all the things they used to do for others and feel a sense of failure that they could no longer do those things. But one woman in her 90s, called Hilda, once said to me something refreshingly different. "I've enjoyed getting old," she said, "because now I have so much more time for reading the Bible, for sitting quietly in prayer in God's presence." She appreciated with joy the opportunities to be like Mary. However, I don't think we can really expect we will suddenly become prayerful contemplatives like Hilda at the age of 90 if we've never given any time to developing our life of prayer over the previous 89 years. Can we find the time, day by day, now, to sit quietly at Jesus' feet, like Mary did, and receive from him? Now, of course, even our prayer times can be very busy. We can have lists we want to tick off, concerns we want to get through with God. We can be very much in control. But prayer is essentially not about what we do, but about what God does in us as we allow his grace to work in our hearts. I want to read a few words from Ruth Burroughs, a Carmelite nun. And she writes about attentive, silent prayer, being still in God's presence, allowing his grace to work in our hearts. And she draws lessons from this reading from Mary and Martha. She says this: "The little story of Martha and Mary expresses the truth graphically. What Jesus is saying is that when he enters our house, that is, when we are in direct contact with him, it is for him to serve and feed us, not the other way round. This, I believe, represents the reality of Christian existence, receiving God, all love, in Christ, letting God love us and nourish us. Well nourished, we turn to our neighbours and we share our nourishment with them. Freely we have received and freely we must give." Silent contemplative prayer expresses this truth as nothing else does. The Martha in us, who wants to do things for God, wants to be the big one, the giver, must let go and childlike sit down with Mary at the feet of Jesus to receive. In so doing, her attitude will gradually change and her whole life, her serving, be purged of self-seeking and become in itself prayer. Our inmost heart must choose to remain a little one, receiving its food from Jesus. Praying, especially praying in such a simple, attentive and silent way, can seem a waste of time because we have nothing to show that we have accomplished. We've always got that nagging voice in our head that we should go away and do something useful instead. We need to remind ourselves that allowing God's grace to work in our hearts to change us is of crucial importance, and it may in fact over time change both who we are and the quality of what we do. Some of us meet every Thursday after the communion service for a Lectio Divina session, reflecting on a short scripture passage in silence, and then we briefly at the end share together what we have received. It's a very rich and nourishing time as we come together to sit at Jesus' feet and listen through word and silence. So if ever any of you are able to join us, that's 11:30 on a Thursday morning. And if anyone wants any further guidance or suggestions on meditating on scripture or on this silent contemplative prayer, then please do ask me. Now I know, as I said earlier, that many of you are in very stressful jobs and you are busily involved in many activities in the church too. But perhaps we can all ponder whether all of our busy activity, all the time, is strictly necessary, and whether we can in fact create some spaces in our lives to offer to God, to simply be with him. We may then find that these times are oases of grace and provide life and nourishment and a new focus in all that we do. The aim in the end is to integrate Mary and Martha within us, to keep the simple attentiveness of Mary even when we are doing practical tasks and serving others, to live as Jesus lived, to allow all we are and do to come out of what we have first received in grace from God. Amen.